Blog Talk Radio.
To the Big Blue Gang Green Power Hour. It is Tuesday, November 27th. Finally, the Giants can head into December. They're getting hot at just the right time. As for the Jets, well, we'll talk about them in a few minutes. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
Wow. Just got to say wow. That's how I'm feeling. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, it's... Woo! I'm doing good, Jim. I'm well rested. I had my dose of football insanity. It seems like you've been on a string of football games. You had the three games on Thursday. You had your Sunday fill, and then Monday night's rating disaster. Carolina and Philadelphia, who is really bad.
Yeah.
They're jet set. And they're getting worse. It's now Sean Jackson has been put on engine reserve.
Interesting factoid for you, courtesy of our buddy Murph. You ready for this?
I'm always got more than Murph. Yeah, I'm ready.
The Philadelphia Phillies have recorded a win later in 2012 than the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's a good stat.
How about that?
That is a good stat. Yeah, they're a mess. They're calling for everything in my audio. Well, you know, it's time to get a new headset over here. I really think my audio is a little screwed up.
Yeah, you are kind of drifting back and forth. Like 1 minute you're really close to the microphone, and then 1 minute you're really far away from the microphone.
That's none of my doing. I am the same distance away at all times. I'm fiddling with wires here at radio.
It's got the engineer on this.
Oh, yeah, I apologize.
I've got to get over and fix Eddie's microphone.
Anybody who listens to Howard Stern will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
B23 Blue Pain's here. He'll know what I'm talking about. Oh, I got to fix Eddie's microphone.
Okay, it's definitely And I apologize for the audio thing. My audio, I'm glad, you know, maybe the Jets fans are glad it's not working.
No, I want to hear what you have to say about this Jets team.
Okay.
Let's start with the Giants. Let's start with the Giants tonight. Because we'll talk about the Giants.
Pull me back. I don't know.
What?
You kind of got me revved up.
All right. Well, we always talk about the Jets first. Let's talk about the Giants first. We'll talk about them, and we'll start off good. Then we can have the last, you know, it won't take too long to talk about the Giants. And then we'll get, you know, get everybody revved up, get the phone calls going, get everybody all
right. Okay.
So, just a short, not even 2 weeks after I went on a rant on this program about how bad this defense stinks, and how terrible they've been, and on it went for 20 minutes. Here, look at this defense. The Giants played the defensive game of the season so far in an absolute demolition of the Green Bay Packers, 38-10. And, you know, the Giants got off to a good start. They got the ball first. They went right downfield, scored a touchdown 2.5 minutes into the game. And I thought, all right, well, we got the offense looks better than it has in 3 weeks. Now it's up to the defense. And 2 minutes later, there goes Jordy Nelson running behind Corey Webster, as everybody seems to do. And it's 7-7, and I thought, well, Giants might have to win tonight. Might have to win tonight 55-53 on a late field goal. But after that, the clamps were down. Aaron Rodgers, discount double wreck, sacked 5 times, 2 turnovers. They made him look like Aaron Heilman out there for you Met fans. A complete,
I tried
complete
to tell
game.
You, worrying about nothing.
Oh, well, let's flash back to Buddy from Holbrook. Do you really think that you're going to beat Aaron Rodgers?
They stink. I mean, okay, I could remake in my pit.
Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, well, that helped your cause right there.
We knew that was the key. You picking Green Bay?
In all honesty, you know, I wasn't as grim on the Giants as you were, but I was, you know, since I consider you my Giant Swami, if you're concerned, then it must be valid. Since some of the Kool-Aid drinkers in the Giant Nation, they think everything is gold, no matter how bad they play.
You know, I said it in the chat room I said it in our Facebook group the other day after the game. The lower my confidence is in this team, the more they surprise me. I mean, when I'm completely confident going into a game, that's when they just, like Cincinnati, they just completely shit the bed. But when my confidence is low, they put in a performance like Sunday night, and I mean, they were absolutely dominant after that Nelson touchdown. They had the pass rush working. They were stopping the run. They were stopping the pass. They were getting to Aaron Rodgers. Eli Manning, 3 touchdown passes, including the one that put him over the top, passing Phil Eli is not Elite Sims on the all-time touchdown pass list for the New York Football Giants. And not only that, but once again, as I said 2 weeks ago on the show, Eli, the non-elite quarterback, outplays Aaron, the elite quarterback, Rodgers.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Phil Sims, once again, he even alluded to it on the Thanksgiving game that he wasn't going to say something. He was commenting on another play. He said, I don't really want to give my critique on that because I get in a lot of trouble. So I guess it was in reference to the non-elite. Eli Manning jealousy, as far as I'm concerned. Eli Manning is better than Phil Sims.
Oh yeah,
even a Jet fan can recognize that. So I give you your mea culpa there. I watched the game. I give a lot of credit once again to Tom Coughlin. Another guy that he has the bye week. He gets these guys so prepared. He righted the ship. He got the mindset back, frame of mind, the focus. And really, for the first time this year that I can remember, maybe you guys can refresh my memory, but they really got probably their best pass rush of the season. For sure, I think. A lot of guys woke up. I saw that Princess Akamura Mura there. And what's his face? Jason Pierre-Paul. And I don't know. I thought that they got a good pass rush. I got a feeling they've got Green Bay's number really big, and I think they got Green Bay, like, just doesn't know what to do with the Giants in a big spot, in any spot, really. So, and it was a good Giant win because Dallas loses.
Yep.
And the Giants got a little bit of breathing room and got some good production out of Ahmad Bradshaw. who, I don't understand this dude. He gets hurt like every week. But the bad news was downtown Amon Brown there. What's his name?
Andre Brown. Andre 3000.
Broke his fibula.
Yep. But you know that, and that is that's obviously disappointing. But you know, this team's got a, you know, they got this next man up mentality about him, and you know, he stepped in when Bradshaw was hurt, so now it's gonna be David Wilson's turn. You know, David, we're gonna have to get David Wilson. You know, he's gonna have to carry some of the load. He's been, you know, I want the ball. I'm going to the Hall of Fame. Well, you're gonna have to go out and prove it the next 5 weeks.
It was a big time win, I think, on so many levels for the Giants. You have it, you know, it surely matters in the standings, but it also gives them the confidence that they had as the 9-7 Giants did next year. They're back. Firing it all cylinders. You got Eli's back. Looking great. You got Victor Cruz, who for some reason, every time he scores, they play a salsa dance or something. And,
yeah.
He just played a salsa dance again on a nationally televised game. I don't know why they keep doing that on these nationally televised games. I don't know if it's piped in through the crowd, I mean, through the stadium speakers or whatever.
No, I think NBC's doing that.
What is up with that? Don't
play
his own music.
Well, you know, and not for nothing, but, you know, before he catches the touchdown pass, he drops a ball right in his hands. So, you know what? When you have a play like that, and then, you scored a touchdown, that's great. But a little humility, a little, what's that word, hubris? Is that the right word?
No, hubris means he's, like, very, you know, egomaniacal.
Or is that the other? Okay, that's the other. Okay, so, okay, a little humility. Don't do your, save your dance. But they play him his music. He danced, but he did. It is, in fairness, he did do a what appeared to be an abbreviated version.
Right, and he did. They were winning when he caught it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you had gotten problems with Twitter saying, you know, don't do the dance or you'll lose.
Right. No dancing. No flexing. No pumping. No fist. You know. No. Nothing.
It is so damn. Me and you are old school, and you know what? We just got to go with it after a while, you know? I mean, this is what it is today. I mean, you watch the NFL Network, and they have Dancing with the Starters, and basically they run down the top five dances of you know, football week.
Oh.
So this is, you know, it's ESPN, you know, culture. Everybody wants to get on TV. Listen, the guy's, a hell of a football player. Like, if Jeremy Curley started doing it, then I'd be like, what is this moron doing? But I've come to grips that, listen, it bothers me when these whack, you know, you see these guys, they celebrate everything. They don't, it's all about me. Like, they don't even realize what the score is. Anyway, so this was a big Giant victory on many levels. I know your boy David Deal. How did he play?
He was hurt.
Oh.
He got hurt. And then they put Heather Locklear in, and who's filled in very nicely for Deal. So, and I'm not a big Deal fan either, but
Giants seem to be you know, they got the focus, the evil focus on it.
So the only thing I'm worried about, Kenny Phillips got hurt again, re-injured the knee, but seemed to be, from what I heard, they only kept him out the rest of the game as precautionary because they were ahead by 47 points, and so they took him out. Hopefully he'll be all right for Washington. They got an extra day of rest Monday night in the nation's capital. It's the Washington Redskins.
Okay, RG3 is fun to watch, man.
Yeah.
And, Alfred Morris, is a pretty damn good rookie. And now, it's Pierre Garçon. But, it should be a good game. I'm really looking forward to that, you know, and see how that pans out. I think that'd be a good barometer to it. The Giants can roll over Washington. You know, they're going to be one of the tougher teams to beat. I really believe it. I look at these other teams, and I, you know, like the Falcons, who have only lost one game. To me, they're I wouldn't say coasting. They win just barely every game, and they seem to have come down a bit. I know these. I look at San Francisco, and I know San Francisco rolled. I don't know. To me, you know, as you put it, the shine kind of come off of them a little bit the way I see it. They can be beaten. The Texans, they're going to be tough because, you know, they got defense and offense. But, you know, I'm looking ahead. But the Ravens, to me, the Ravens are very overrated. They look like they could be one and done in the playoffs. So, I don't know. If the Giants continue to progress, I think they got a really good shot of maybe finishing maybe 9-7 again.
Yeah, well. Hey.
Good enough to win the Super Bowl, right?
That's right. You got it. Speaking of the Ravens really quick, did you see Ray Rice's 4th-and-29 run against the Chargers on Sunday?
No, I didn't.
Unbelievable. I don't know if I've ever seen a play like it. I mean, the Ravens have 4th-and-29, in a closing minute and a half of the game, whatever it was. Flacco's chased out of the pocket, in trouble, dumps it off to Rice. I mean, I don't think it was more than a 5-yard pass. Rice catches the ball. He's got a couple of blockers, but the blockers break down. So Rice takes off across the field, and he's kind of running diagonal. And you can see nobody's really got the angle on him. And he gets to about 28 yards and just dives as he's being hit. Knee comes down, ball outstretched, and he just makes the first down. And they had like a 10-minute replay review to see where he landed, and they decided that they spotted the ball a yard or about a 3/4 yard too far ahead. So they respotted the ball, remeasured, and he still had the first down.
Wow.
But it was really one of the most incredible plays I've ever seen.
Very.
Really was. Yeah.
Well, Ray Rice is a gamer. No doubt.
Oh, definitely.
But I saw a stat on Flacco, He's only thrown, I think, one multiple touchdown game all year. I think it was week 3. I remember later than that. But he doesn't throw a lot of picks. So, but he certainly hasn't emerged as the guy that they thought he was going to step it up a little bit. But getting back to the Giants, yeah, the Brown injury is big because it's a guy you put in on the goal line. Bradshaw is he's like Mr. Glass from freaking what's that movie with the M. Night Shyamalan?
Oh, Unbreakable.
Unbreakable. He's like Mr. Glass. I mean, the guy's constantly freaking his foot, his ankle, ba ba da, boomy, ba ba ba, everything. I have him on my fantasy.
Right.
I was pleased to see him get in. So he had a good game. He had a really good game. They need that. He needs to he made one move that even Chris Collinsworth, that fucking yutz, complimented on him. He kind of went up to the outside and, just made a nice move. I just want to talk about Collinsworth for a second. I posted something on my Facebook. First of all, he looks like fucking Ray Bolger. Fucking from the Scarecrow from fucking Wizard of Oz. And, get back. I'll talk more about that. Dunce.
Of course, people do go both ways.
Exactly, Chris. Yeah. So, I'll get back to him when it comes to the Jet game. But you got the, I think the Giants. What else did you get? What else did you glean from this game, perhaps?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously, I'm impressed with the defense, but you know, now they gotta keep it up. You know, now it's all glam this week for the Giants. You know, everybody, the spotlight's on the Giants again. They beat the Packers. You know, it's Sunday night spotlight in first place. Look how great they are. But you know, again, the slightest bit of prosperity with this team, you know, it hurts them. So I have to. We'll have to see how they. And last year, when they had that big win against the Jets, not to bring up the past, but the week after that, they completely crapped the bed against the Redskins.
They slit the baby. Is that an actual term? I think I heard that once. I don't know if that ever caught on.
I don't know.
Just the bed, they slit the baby.
I'm a little frightened by it, though. I got to be honest with you.
A little too gory, you know. You're thinking
a little bit.
If it's too edgy for me and you, you know, it's really out there. So they slit the baby against. Who did they?
Says it anyway.
Yeah. They shit the bed against who last year?
Oh, no, excuse me. I am incorrect. Maybe that was 2007 they lost to the Redskins. That's what it was. Last year they lost a bad game to the Redskins and then got it turned around the following week against the Jets. It was 2007, I think, after they clinched a playoff spot against Buffalo, maybe. Maybe then they lost to Washington when bad weather game and they threw the ball 52 times. Now I got to look this up because I'm going to feel like an idiot if I was wrong about this. Nope, wrong again. I got nothing to worry about. Everything's fine. The Giants are winning out. And get your Super Bowl 47 shirts now. I got nothing to worry about. Giants did make a couple of moves today, by the way.
Oh, did they? They fired
Tom Coughlin. Brought back Ray Hanley. Gave him a 5-year contract. He showed up to the press conference in a dress. Giants signed a couple of running backs. They signed Ryan Torain, formerly of the Redskins, and also Craig Lumpkin, which is one of the greatest names I've ever heard. Craig Lumpkin, formerly with the Seattle Seahawks, and he was an undrafted free agent with the Packers in 2008. So a couple of running backs who bolstered the Giants' depth. They also worked out Cadillac Williams today.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
I thought the hubcap had fallen off of Cadillac.
And they worked out former Giant Ryan Grant and Cadillac Williams. So, I mean, Cadillac Williams, well, he had some injury problems, didn't he? Cadillac Williams? Yeah. So yeah, they went from the Cadillac to the Lumpkin.
Lumpkin.
Lumpkin, exactly. Rupert Pumpkin.
You know what a Blumpkin is, right?
Yeah, I do. You know, I'm...
but not that Ed.
Come on. B23 Blue Paint said he's getting a Lumpkin jersey.
Oh man!
So the Giants making a couple of moves to bolster the depth.
When David Wilson, you know, who's basically been in the shutdown bow wow back there, and, you know, he's Mr. Fumble Rooski, you don't want to be taking that into the playoffs.
Well, he's going to be given a chance to prove himself now, so. Because, right. You know, Bradshaw's not going to run the same way he ran the other night. He'll run for 30 yards against Washington.
Yeah, no, he'll be 2 weeks off, then another good game.
Right. Right.
I'm following you so closely. But.
Well, you've got him on the fantasy. You've got to. So all is well in Giant Land, and for at least this.
The fans, well, I noticed that the chat room is bursting at the seams. Bella Bell is here. I think she was overseeing her brother up in the West Coast. See, I actually read what people post on Facebook. Coast is here. close to, it's just really fucking insane. And Mr. French? Wow, he must smell hockey. Hockey maybe be close to a deal if Mr. French is around. And,
we're not close to hockey.
The feds are involved.
Oh, please. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, watch the doors open now. The government's involved. Fantastic.
So, yep.
Think about it. We're asking the same government who completely screwed up Social Security. But they're going to fix hockey.
Yeah, well, listen. You make too good of an argument to even make a joke out of that. So the Giants are on track. I give a lot, again, like I said in the beginning, a lot of credit to Tom Coughlin. This is why he separates. He's just so different, other than maybe, I mean, just in a class of his own, really. Just gotten, I just like the way he can get a team, he prepares for a team, and he's got some time, and that bye week came at the right time.
Yep.
And I know as a Giant fan like yourself, you don't want to get too enthused.
No.
I mean, you know, but it's a great sign that Eli looked as good as he did. It's a great sign of the offensive line. And they beat Green Bay. And I have to say, one of my most hated teams, not really hated teams, but their fan base, I root for them to lose every game, although it doesn't happen. Aaron Rodgers usually goes off, but I'm not a fan of the Green Bay Packers, and there were a lot of Green Bay fans in JetLife Stadium or Jet Stripe Stadium.
Jet Stripe and like that. Yeah, the Packer fans they travel well, so there were quite a few of them at the Yale Bowl on Sunday, and that's all right. That's all right. As long as we send them home pissed, I'm fine. I don't care. You know, I don't want to hear them cheering. That's all. You know, I've had to sit in that stadium, but the old place, and listen to Cowboy fans cheering, and you know, that was when it wasn't so easy to get tickets. You know, not like it is now. You can go on the internet, but as long as you know, sent the Packer fans home. And I love, you know, my wife's family, a lot of Bears fans on that side of the family, you know, they're from Chicago. So I could, and her friends, you know, she's Chicago based. And I always know when the Giants are playing the Packers because I get text messages and Facebook messages, "Go Giants!" from all of them. So, you know,
yeah, I know.
They all put their Giants hats on when the Giants are playing the Packers.
Yeah, it's big time rivalry.
So.
And the Bears won too, so they got double game.
Bears won a lot of injuries though in that game, from what I heard.
The Hester had a concussion. I don't know what they lost. Their Forte get hurt, and then I think somebody on the defensive side. I think. I don't know. I know.
I think Forte went down, right?
Yeah. And I don't. They don't have the horses yet. No, they're an okay team. I don't know. So you want to talk about this crazy little thing called love? Crazy little circus called the New York Jets?
Well, just one last thought on the Bears. You know, the thing with the Bears is, you know, they've got a good defense. They've got a defense that can score points. And, you know, a team like the Bears, if they can win that division, which now I think they've got a one- or two-game lead in the division, or maybe it's a game and a half or something. But if they win that division and they'll get a home game, you know, Soldier Field in December, and if they wind up getting, you know, like a team like Atlanta or Tampa Bay coming in there, or even New Orleans, they ain't winning in Chicago in the middle of January. I don't care what anybody says. Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa, any of those NFC South teams that they get in, they ain't winning in Chicago in the middle of January. Seattle, there's another one. They ain't winning in Chicago in the middle of January.
This is truth. I mean, I don't know. They got some problems, Chicago. They're still kind of. I mean, I don't buy this whole if Jay Cutler doesn't play, they're a mess. If Jay Cutler is the, you know, is the hinge on the door.
Right, and he's brittle.
That should always be kind of the hinge. Come on. I mean, all he does is do a cradle and Edmonds.
But again, they've got a defense that can score.
They haven't done much of it the last couple of weeks.
No, but, you know.
You say, no, you make a good point. The defense can get a lot of points. So, you know. And they certainly get a lot of turnovers. And, you know, turnovers are a big thing. And in Chicago in the winter, and you have these teams that are used to, like, you know, perfect weather conditions.
Right.
Right. It's certainly a good point. Now, if I talk about this Jets disaster.
Well, can I lead you in?
Yeah.
All right. So, last week on the show, we're talking about the Jets. They were coming off this big win against the Rams.
I like how big win against
the Rams. I'm hyping. You know, okay. Sanchez had played well. He had a great game for Mark Sanchez.
Right.
15-20. You know, they played a very good game on the road in a tough place to play. I mean, everybody knows the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis is one of the toughest places to play in NFL history. And the Jets went in there and persevered, and they had to go through a snowstorm to get there, and Jet fans were excited, and they were looking forward to the Patriots at home on Thanksgiving, and the Jets were going to beat the Patriots and get on that roll and get to the playoffs. And then, you know, the fans are fired up. I saw pictures. The fans were in the stands an hour and a half before the game. They're eating Thanksgiving dinner in the parking lot at Shea Stadium. And then they had the firemen and the cops come out on the field before the game. And the cops and the firemen are doing the jet airplane. Was that Bart Scott thing? And then here come the Jets. What a disaster.
You're getting a little ahead of yourself, Jim.
Talk about Victor Cruz with his music during the game. This is what they want to play the whole time the Jets are on the field.
You're getting a little ahead of yourself. Just sad. The music started a little bit after.
Yeah, there was a gap there that shouldn't have been there. I don't know what happened. I know. I know.
Because.
You want me to go through the whole thing again?
No, I'll tell you when to cue the music after I do my little review. The Jets obviously came in with a game plan. Please, no joke.
If player
left, sort of at your leisure at home, let me just get through. Okay, the Jets obviously came to the game. The game plan was control the football, keep the ball away from Brady. This has been their game plan, but this was the game. So the Jets get the ball. First of all, the Jets, I think it was New England, got the ball first. They came down, they kicked the field goal. 3-0, okay. So the Jets get the ball. They eat up a lot of clock. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole game like this, but I just want to show you. The Jets were able to run the ball. They were able to move the ball. Then, on fourth down and like two, I guess from like their, you know, they won 30-yard line or so of New England. Coach Rex Ryan decides he's going to go on fourth down. Rather than take the points, I'm not saying this would have mattered, but this to me was an indication that we were going to go into insano land. Because the Jets can't move the ball, usually, anytime. So now all of a sudden we're going to, you know, we're going to, want to see the Bulls on us. We're going on fourth down. Freak our game plan. This is the Jets. You're in awe. How dare you? Meanwhile, Rexy Poo can't even bring in Tebow. Tebow has a rib injury, which apparently nobody knows about. Has no backup quarterback. How do you go to a game with no backup quarterback? I don't know. But then Blubberpuss looks like he's going to go down and fall down. Stop.
That was
exactly
perfect.
Going south, I knew it was coming.
Just as you paused. Just as you paused, the song went. Bah, 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 da, 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 da.
Yeah. You keep it as close as you can. And then, I want to say utter buffoonery, but I've uttered that before. The utter, I don't know how to describe it. Buffoonery, the word buffoonery is so funny and so right on, but it doesn't even do it just what I saw in that field. I have to say, that was the worst Jet game ever. When Mark Sanchez lowered his head and ran into, I think it was Calvin Pace's ass. He ran into his ass. The ball in the air. And some cockamamie Patriot runs it in like it was a scrimmage or something. Then on the ensuing kickoff, some chucklehead fumbles the ball. They run it in. Between the Ben Vereen run where he was untouched, you had three touchdowns in 52 seconds.
Three plays, right? Three consecutive plays?
Yes, in 52 seconds. Let me reiterate going back. Mark Sanchez ran into his offensive lineman's ass. How short is this fucking guy? There is no way that guy is 6'1 or 6'2, whatever they're saying on the internet or whatever. We represent the lollipop chill, the
lollipop chill, the lollipop. You're setting me up perfectly here. This is great.
Absolutely the worst Jet game ever, and you got to see it because it was on national TV. Now, getting to this schmuck, this scarecrow, Ray Bolger lookalike, Chris Collinsworth. You completely orgasmed all over the Patriots like they had just discovered the best defense. They've got all the answers. These defensive backs are better than I thought. He's musing to Al Michaels. They're playing the Jets, you chowder head. Anybody looks good against Stephen Hill and Mo Larry and Curly. The only guy who can catch a ball and he dropped one in the end zone, usually, is Dustin Keller. And that Vince Wolfork, whatever his name is. I thought Collinsworth was going to whip it out right there and have that black man suck him off. What else? I remember.
Slow down,
excuse me while I whip this out.
I'm all over the switchboard here.
He was giddy. Listen, Collinsworth, the Jets are pathetic. They gave them points.
Stick around.
They didn't earn shit that game. The Jets are ridiculous. The Jets are silly. They're a silly team. You cannot take anything serious when you play them. They're silly. When the quarterback runs into his offensive lineman's ass and there's a fumble, you're silly. When your team, after 12 weeks, can't field a kickoff or a punt on special teams and fumble, you're silly. When you've got a quarterback, no quarterback, going into your, no backup quarterback, you're silly. When you go down fourth down and three early in the game, after having some success, having confidence in your offensive line, thinking that you're silly. Rex Ryan, you're silly. I don't know what kind of Kool-Aid they got. It must have all the drugs in the world that you're drinking. You're losing the weight, but there's got to be mescaline. There's got to be LSD. There's got to be cocaine. There's got to be every drug in the world. For you to think that this team is what you think it is in your mind. Silly. The team is a joke. You're a joke for even just what you believe. I don't understand you. I mean, the only guy is more delusional, and I'll say it because Mario M's here, is probably Karl Rove, the election results game. I mean, this is basically what I... What? I mean, this is... it's so embarrassing. Here you are with your friends and family, and the jokes go on, this and that. And like you said, the fans with the Jets. Yeah, ETS. Oh, yeah.
We're gonna get the Jet fans in just a few minutes.
Yeah, I know. But and then as soon as the kickoff, you know it's over. Go home, folks. Nothing to see here. Well, there's a lot to see here compared to the other team. And comedy. There's plenty. It's the football folly when you watch this team. I don't know how bad. Then, as the Jets are going through this thing, I don't know what network is this on? NBC?
Nickelodeon.
Yeah, it could have been on the Comedy Central. It should have belonged on. So they start panning to these Jets fans. Now listen. Hey, listen. Trust me, I don't think I'm a good-looking man. My wife thinks I'm that's all accounts for me. The people in that fucking stadium were the ugliest bastards I ever seen in my life.
Did you see the picture I posted on Facebook?
I had to rewind that on my DVR as it happened, because when they showed that Chinese, Japanese, whatever he was, guy, I'm sorry, it's not politically correct, but I don't know what.
He's just got that look on his face.
All I said while it was happening live was, what happened? What happened? What? He ran into guy's ass. What happened?
Oh,
and these people in the stadium. They're sitting like they lost loved ones. Get the hell out of there. You don't have to stay for the whole game. Man, it's just a joke. I mean, we're the ugliest people in the world. It was like, oh, and then now, yeah. On top of that, I got to see this gong show of the crowd and the husband and the wife consoling each other. The one wife, a girlfriend with a puss on her face. She looks like she wants to kill her husband for making her stay for this show. It was brutal. Utter brutality on the Thanksgiving massacre. I'm calling it. That was just, it just got silly and sillier and went on. And then when you just thought it couldn't get any more sillier, the whole fire and that thing
comes out. Oh, I can't, let me know when you're ready.
What else is to say? How can you comment on a game that you never were in, that you embarrassed the franchise? One of the most embarrassing X-Rex banners in the stadium.
Oh, yeah. A lot of anti-Rex signage in the stadium on Sunday, on Thanksgiving night. Again, 2 weeks ago, we're firing Rex. A week later, they're going to the playoffs. 3 days later, I mean, they're even on a short week. 3 days later, Rex is gone again. Got to get rid of Rex.
I think there is a good portion of Jet fans that are as silly as Jet are. That's really...
Well, you know, I think some... Well, you know what it is? I mean, it's the whole sideshow Bob. I think, I don't know, maybe some Jet fans are just fed up. Just fed up in general, and they're taking it out on him. I don't know. But, I mean, there are some things that are going on with this team that are inexcusable for the head coach. I mean, nobody knows Tim Tebow's hurt, and all of a sudden Tim Tebow's hurt and can't play, but he's dressed. He's dressed. He's standing on the sidelines with his helmet on. For what? You're not going to play. What are you standing there with your helmet on for? He's got, what are they, cracked ribs, broken ribs, whatever the hell's wrong with his ribs. Well, players have played with broken ribs or whatever's wrong with Tebow, Rex says. But we had no intention of playing Tebow. Then what is he dressed for? I mean, that's just stupid. I mean, that's, you know, to me that ranks right up there with Jim Schwartz calling for a replay when he knows the play is going to be replayed and he knows that the play is going to become unreviewed. That's the coach not knowing the rules. Rex doesn't know he's got to dress a quarterback. Are coaches getting dumber as well? I know society's getting
so
dumber.
So much to worry about. That guy throwing the flag, listen, it's a stupid rule anyway. I don't want to get sidetracked off this Jets comedy thing, but...
Stupid, yeah, it's a stupid rule, but the coach has to know it. There are a lot of stupid rules in the league, but the coach has to know it. How do you not know that a scoring play is automatically reviewed?
He might have known it in the back of his head, but just reacted immediately. You don't
stupid.
Know.
Frank and Beans.
I think, first of all, it's a stupid...
He went full retard on Thanksgiving. That's all I know.
Well, you're not giving him any slack. I'm giving him a little slack.
All right.
If it was Rex,
you'd be killing him.
That was just bad. Remember when I said it went from the Clyde Beatty Circus?
Yeah, they've upgraded. Right.
This was like Circus de Soleil. This was like bizarre. Yeah.
They're a comedy troupe. they become Second City.
When you see a guy ramming another guy, and those guys ass and he fumbles. I'm sitting in my living room.
I mean, the best part is that he ran full on into the guy's ass and then fell like right down onto his own ass as the ball. I mean, it was just. I mean, and the fumble on the ensuing kickoff. I mean, I think it was McKnight. He gets hit and the ball just pops out like 15 yards. I mean, it was just, you couldn't write a sillier game. You couldn't write a script. I mean, this was Police Academy 4, silly. I mean, this was just ridiculous. And it's, I mean, and what's, you know what else is amazing? Is that for the second time this season, you have referred to a Jet loss as the worst loss in Jets history. It's just 3 or 4 short weeks, they've surpassed the worst loss in Jets history. That's how bad they are.
The Jets have lost by, like, more than 21 points, like, 3 or 4 times this year. That's why they keep saying it.
At home.
But they're losing games by crazy-ass scores. I mean, it's embarrassing. I mean, that's why. But this, I mean, we still got a couple weeks to go. But at right now, that was the worst loss I can ever remember. It was so bad that my late cousin, who was the biggest Jet fan I ever knew, I know this sounds bad. I was like, you know what? I'm glad Anthony's not here to see this. Because it was so bad. It was just...
They lost by 34 at home. They lost by 30 at home the other night. They lost by 3 touchdowns to the Dolphins at home. You can't do that. You just can't.
It's Jet Life Stadium. It's Jet Strife Stadium now.
Jet Strife. Back to Shea.
And these poor souls who had the Thanksgiving and the whole thing and the turkey, and then they sit down and eat it. And then the chance of Tebow. Don't these idiots know he's not playing?
Well, and that was the other great thing. You've got Jet fans. Maybe this is how we'll segue. You've got Jet fans at the game chanting Tebow. You've got Jet fans at the game booing the Jet fans who are chanting for Tebow. And then you've got Jet fans blaming the whole to-do on Fireman Ed. It's all Fireman Ed.
Well, because why? They got on him because he's wearing a Sanchez jersey? I mean, well, wasn't Sanchez? I mean, maybe the more of the details. All I've seen was like Fireman Ed. He's not going to do it anymore because I heard one thing. He doesn't. He may lose it. Was he 5'8"? I mean, I'm not really afraid of Fireman Ed. And he may get abused.
First of all, let me say that Fireman Ed is as big as an attention whore as Snooki.
Yeah, okay? I like the guy. I'm a Jet fan.
Here's a guy, right, that he used to have the other – he used to sit on the other fireman's shoulders. I don't know what happened to the other fireman, but we don't see him anymore. Leading the chants, right? This guy does the commercials, you know. He wants to get paid. He wants this notoriety as numero uno Jet fan. And then when he decides, oh, this is too hard, I'm going to get into a fight with the fans, he has this big retirement send-off like he's Wayne Gretzky. I mean, I thought we were going to have a farewell tour for Fireman Ed.
Yeah.
He writes this big letter. And now, I've got this letter that he wrote in the New York Metro. I've got it in front of me here.
Oh, it made the major paper.
No, this is a free paper that they hand out in the subway. The hobos hand this thing out in the subways. This is where Fireman Ed announces his retirement. Tonight, I consider myself the luckiest fan on the face of the earth. On Thanksgiving night, I left the Jet game before halftime. This was the second time in a row I left before there were 4 zeros on the clock. We have had much worse teams than this, and I never left before. I pride myself in that because I am not a quitter. I had decided to leave Thursday because the confrontations with other Jet fans have become more common, even though most Jet fans are fantastic. This is an indication of how society has lost and is continuing to lose respect for one another. The stadium has become divided because of the quarterback controversy as well. The fact that I chose to wear a Mark Sanchez jersey this year and that fans think I am on the payroll, which is an outright lie, have made these confrontations more frequent. Whether it's in the stands, the bathroom, or the parking lot, these confrontations are happening on a consistent basis. I'm going to stop there because the rest of it is just ridiculous. The fans think that I am on the payroll. Well, you're not on the payroll, okay? I'll go along with that because I don't really think he is. But how many commercials have we seen this guy in? This guy puts himself out there as representing the Jet fan. Am I right? Would you say that?
I've only seen him do, heard him on radio commercials. I haven't seen any.
You know, he did a Sports Center commercial, if I'm not mistaken. He's been in a few commercials, like, you know, like Ultimate Fan type commercials, things like that. Maybe a Visa commercial, if I'm not mistaken. He puts himself out there as numero uno Jet fan, like the black guy that used to be at the Cowboy games, all dressed like a cowboy. The guy in the barrel at Broncos games, Darth Vader. These are guys he's been in the commercials with. You know, this is how he puts himself out there. Now, if you want that notoriety, you know, you got to take the bad with the good. You want to be that celebrity. You know, I've talked about Facebook celebrities on the Rangers show a couple of times, and we know who I'm talking about. You got to take the bad with the good. You know, there's a girl, her name is Rebby Sky, okay? And she, for a couple of years, and she's a very attractive girl, very attractive, okay? And for years, she promoted herself, and she may still do it, as New York Giants girl. She had a website. She's got all these pictures of herself in Giants thongs, Giants jerseys, Giants this.
Well, hold on. What's his name again?
Rebby, R-E-B-Y.
I'm only kidding.
Oh. I thought you were looking her up.
I'm a married man. I'm not interested in this stuff.
Married, not dead. She would always find her way to the camera during Giants games. She'd wear a little Superman cape. She made herself very known because of the Giants, okay? She was on the Howard Stern show when Artie Lang was still on the show. Maybe Brian might remember this. And they started, and Artie thought that she was just, that the Giants thing was all bullshit. She was just using that to make herself a star. So they started quizzing her on the Giants, on the current Giants. And she didn't know shit. And then all these guys that follow her on Facebook started getting on her on Facebook about it, how she didn't know this and she didn't know that. And all of a sudden, you know, she got all pissed off. She started blocking people. She wanted to be a celebrity, but she didn't want to take the bad with the good. Now, here's this guy, Fireman Ed, walking out at halftime. Are you going to blame the fan? Oh, the fans, I'm going to get in a fight. I'm going to get in a fight.
I mean, you know, the other team we follow, the Rangers. Right, and Dancing Larry is kind of like the Fireman of the Rangers in a way. But I got to tell you, Dancing Larry takes way more. He's got sections yelling, Larry's a homo at him every game.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy takes unmitigated abuse. He still hangs in there. I mean, he's a mental patient. But Fireman Ed, you know,
he used to take a lot of abuse from us until he came on the show, and then he was all right.
Well, yeah, and he made a good show. Off of all sins and become
right.
I agree with you. I mean, now he's going to take his toys home. He's going to take his toy helmet home, and his hand turns and where? I think the crazy society's breaking down.
Looks like a giant Hess truck.
Jackass.
And Howie, I get what you're saying. How much losing can someone take? How much losing can someone take? But you know what? He chose, nobody forces him to be a Jet fan. Nobody forced him to wear that helmet and lead those chants. Nobody forced him to do those ESPN commercials. Nobody forced him. He wanted it. He brought it on himself. And all of a sudden, he leaves at halftime. He shuts down his Facebook. He shuts down his Twitter. All of a sudden, he wants to just go be Ed at the games. But yet he makes this big, grand announcement. Nobody's going to pay any attention to just fat old Ed walking into the stadium on Sunday when they play there, whoever they play on Sunday. I'm sure nobody's going to pay any attention to Ed Anzalone from wherever he's from.
Yeah.
So Eddie, but this just in, Eddie Geich will be at the game in a fireman hat leading the Jets chant.
Oh, you said a fat guy. Now you tie this together.
I didn't call you fat.
Now you said I'm going to the game. So thanks for that.
I just said you're going to be the new Fireman Head.
Oh, no. There's no way I'm going to that silly dome. Whatever that place is.
It'll be like Curly. It'll be like the Curly role. You know, yeah, you're Joe Betts or stepping in. Joe DiRita. Anyway.
I don't care. You're irrelevant. The Metro. What are we up? They're going to do a full spread on us next? I mean, how irrelevant can that paper be? Get somebody on from the Metro. We want to be on. We want to come pay.
Fireman Ed announced his retirement today in the Penny Saver.
That's people taking it.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Exactly.
But that's the other thing, is that the Fireman Ed story has become the biggest Jet story this week. Rex is commenting to the papers about Fireman Ed, not about how he's going to fix this unmitigated disaster of a football team. He's talking about Fireman Ed.
And he is on the payroll.
Unmitigated disaster. And he's talking about Fireman Ed.
But you know what? Fireman Ed is a little... I'll give him one thing. The football game, and again, I'm getting the old man syndrome. Going to sporting events, except for hockey, I think hockey, but going to sporting events with the youngsters, it's all about getting drunk. It's all about getting belligerent. It's all about, like, show me your tits, you know. I mean, it's gotten away from the old crotchety guys we used to watch with there for 30 years that, you know, we learned a good lesson, we would learn, you know, new words to use and foul language and this guy's a bum and, you know, we learned, you know, valuable lessons about losing. Now it's
street smarts.
Now it's just all get drunk and fight somebody and make fun of somebody or attack the other team's fans.
You can't attack your own team fans.
Yeah, they're cannibalizing themselves.
Subversive from within, as Bill Parcells once said.
Exactly. I mean, it's just silly. Now
Fireman Ed, this nincomp fucking poop.
Who cares? Good riddance.
The biggest story of the week. He's taking the focus off how bad the team is.
Well, the focus will be on how bad the team is in the next game.
Again.
He'll be back. He'll probably come back next season and then take another ad out in the Metro.
Maybe next year he'll be EMT Ed.
Yeah.
Accountant Ed.
They're going to replace him with Sanitation Department Pete.
Willie the Jackass.
Willie the Jackass.
Who knows?
Just a friggin' circus. Now, there was you wanted to extend this show, and we've already extended it.
Yeah, I know. Unwillingly, to be honest. I mean, I was ready to... time gets away from us. What can I say?
Well, you want to make some picks? And I think we should maybe do a hockey show Thursday. Like an hour.
Yeah, we could... Yes, I can do that. I could do that. How about Thursday night? We'll do Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Maybe we could talk to some people that went to the charity game the other night. And
I want to get in touch with the peeps. Want to see what their vibe is, what they've been up to.
Okay. So how about we blow through the phone calls and we'll do the picks and get the hell out of here.
Sounds good.
All right. Guess who this is, Eddie? from the cone of silence. What's up, Costa?
Not them. Surviving.
Well, glad to see that everything's that right. Surviving?
Yes, surviving.
There's a lot to be thankful in this life. You got hockey, you got sports.
Hockey? What hockey?
I know, hockey. I'm out of Fedzer involved. I got Elliot Ness working on it.
That's Dragnet. That's Joe Friday.
Whatever. It's the, I couldn't think of the Untouchables song.
Anyway.
Anyway.
I'm sorry if I don't know all the TV songs.
Find me a look back when if the team is really good, if they're like friggin', if they're like 9-4 or something like that, he'll be back. Trust me. He ain't going nowhere. Who's he kidding?
Fireman Ed, he's talking about.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't care.
He was an advocate for the West Side Stadium, right? He was actually paid to be an advocate.
And did you know he was also photographed in his high school yearbook in a Miami Dolphins jersey? That's true.
Wow, a classy guy. I used to get dressed up. I got Mr. Class. Classy Freddie Blassie over here. All right, so how silly on a scale of 1 to 10 was that Jet game?
How bad was it? Or how good?
How silly. What?
I think after the three, I don't know after how many touchdowns I turned them off. Turned off that game. I turned it off. This game's over. Goodbye. Next. Goodbye. Next.
You know what was funny? How Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth were trying to keep you interested by selling you all those improbable comeback stories? I was in this stadium on a Monday night, Jets and Dolphins. They were down 23 points going into the fourth quarter. Yeah.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
Titans and Bills. Enough.
Collinsworth, Jabro kept throwing it a couple good jabs in there. He said, doing a Jets giving instead of Thanksgiving. It's like the Keystone Cops out there. So even that moron had a good line. It was pretty bad. And then, do you think the Giants are for real? You think this is Giants back on track poster, or is this just continue not?
I take it one game at a time, my friend, because you never know. Because they got a tough schedule. They always have a tough schedule for some reason.
Well, I just think it's after Jets and Toaster. Toaster, thanks for checking in. Who won that Michigan Cornell game?
Cornell killed him. Cornell killed him, like 5-1 or something like that.
Wow. And how did he catch any of Nieve?
He didn't play much. He didn't do much, to be honest. Remember, he's only a freshman, so what can he do?
Well, we'll talk more about that on Costa, thank you for joining us, my friend.
All right, man.
You are one hell of a human being, you son of a bitch.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Costa.
Mr. French, save all your Rangers stuff. I see you in the chat room for Thursday.
Yes, Thursday night, 8:00 Eastern. We'll do a Blue Shirt Underground Radio. James, what's going on?
Hey, man, what's going on?
How are you?
Hey, James.
Man, what's up? I think Ed should be the new fireman. Ed, what do you think?
No way.
I don't.
You don't want that job, man. Huh?
I don't want to wait. Listen, I'm all about wasting time, but I'm not wasting my time. That goes on.
No, because
I hear you, man. I hear you.
Ed doesn't want to. He doesn't want to do that. Well, he wouldn't do that because Eddie spends half his time at the game heckling the players, and then the other half heckling the other fans.
Yeah,
and the other half drinking some beer.
So
and the other half.
He wouldn't be a very good. He wouldn't be a very good ambassador. I guess is what
I wouldn't be either. I'd be up roaming around, eating. Right. I haven't been to any of these places. Remember, I'd be looking all over the place. What's new to eat? You know, I haven't been to these new luxury places. I'm still used to the old crap that we used to have, you know?
Yeah. Well, I would say the food has improved there, but...
Did I have any Carvel or Mr. Softy or what?
Yeah, they got the sausage and peppers and all that stuff. And Mr. Softy, I think they got Carvel.
I love that picture of Mr. Softy. Oh, man.
I love it.
If my voice goes out, I had a freaking flu the past 2 weeks, so it's still, but still, you know, listening and hanging out with you guys on Facebook there, see what's going on.
If I were,
so what are we going to talk?
Well, I was
I'm sorry.
Say, if I ever go same sex, it's going to be with Mr. Softy.
Mr. Softy. That's it, man.
So,
Mr. Softy, that's the one.
Let me ask you this, Jim. I mean, James. So it's the same thing. James, let me ask you this. Is this for the Giants, is this a one-game thing, or do you see the Giants picking this up and rolling with it?
You know, I'm a lot like Costa is. I want to believe that they're going to start hitting stride like they've done in the past, but it's always that same thing. Almost like a Ranger type thing. Can they keep turning it on and turning it? You know, if you turn it off for a little bit, can you just come back and turn it on? You know, they do have a tough schedule. I mean, they have two tough road games at the end of the season. The last three games, I think the two of the last three, I think, are at Baltimore. And one is that at Atlanta, I think? I'm not sure. But you're playing a lot of these guys, you know, who's 9-1 and 10-1, whatever the hell it is. You know, it's like, you know, you got a lot of tough games ahead. And, I mean, they got to be at the top of the game. Everybody has to stay healthy. And, you know, to me, it did look like, to me, I mean, I don't know about anybody else. Eli did not look good the three games before that, even the game that they won against Dallas. He just didn't look right to me. I was like, something's wrong with this guy. And then the next two games, he was off. He was way off. And I'm trying to be funny. Like, you know, Sanchez is always too high or too low or too, you know, he's just not throwing right. And I see Eli doing like the same thing. And that's why I said it looked Sanchez like the way he was throwing. And he just wasn't on at all. Even this past week, I mean, defense played great and he played good too. I'm not going to say he didn't. He didn't throw no picks, which was real good. But he threw – there was a few passes that I thought, you know, a little overthrown, a little underthrown. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with him. You know, I mean, I'm hoping that, they're running more. You know, I've seen them run more, which they hadn't done, I don't think, as much, you know, over the last few weeks. So is there an arm issue? I don't know. The dead arm thing? I don't know. But I think you have to take it a game at a time. Just like Costa said, you know, it's like you from one game to another, you can't tell what these guys are going to do. I mean, for all you know, Jets look like garbage last week, and next week they'll come out and score 40 points and they'll win. I mean, you just don't know in this league no more. You know, it's hard to tell. It's hard to pick them. You know, that's why I listen to you guys' picks after.
In fairness, the Jets are playing the Cardinals, who may be the only team in the NFL who are a bigger disaster than the Jets at quarterback right now.
Yeah, and that's something, I mean, really, that's a game, that's a very winnable game for the Jets. I mean, and I said it even on Facebook, too. I mean, they don't play any of the other teams that are, like, over 500, man. I mean, if they could run off, so, you know, win, you know, only lose, like, another game or two, I mean, you don't know what could happen, you know? And I'm not saying that they're going to make the playoffs, or if they do, that they get on some spectacular run. I don't know. But, you know, you don't know what the hell could happen in a 16-game season when other teams aren't playing that good and you happen to get a good schedule at the end there, you know, and you're like, all right, but this team is beatable. Even though we're not playing good, this team is beatable, this team is beatable, this team is beatable, you know, and you look at them all and you're like, well, they actually, you know, and if you reverse it, you know, and if the Giants had these teams to play, I'd feel real good. I'd be like, all right, let's see, we just really put the beat down on Green Bay, but we could beat, I figure who Jets are playing, I just can't think of it off the top of my head, but I know it's a lot of, you know, not that good teams, but when I see, you know, Giants still got to play the Saints, and they still have to play Atlanta, and you have to play Baltimore in Baltimore, and you know what I mean? That, and then even Philly always the last game of the season. That's gonna scare the hell out of me, that game. No, I don't care if Philly only still has three wins. They're still gonna scare the hell out of me.
Well, with any luck, maybe that game won't mean much by then if the Giants can.
That's what I'm hoping.
Well.
That, That's what I'm hoping. But you know what? You know, it's like, I don't know. It's like just being a Ranger fan. You just still have that mentality. It's always the end of the season, and the Rangers, who do they usually play? Philadelphia, Jersey, right? Same thing.
Right. Yeah.
And it's that's what gets to me. You know, I keep thinking about that. So I hope we could do it. You know, never know if another miracle's in them. But I'll give Eli, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he threw three TDs the other night, no picks. I mean, he threw for over 300 yards. Maybe he's back. I hope he's back, and that'll be good. As for the Jet fans, hey, I'm hoping for you guys. See you guys win a game over here and fire him and Ed. I don't have that much time right now, but the fire him and Ed situation, I don't agree with what he did either. I agree with all you guys. The thing is if people, abusing the guy, from what I hear, I mean, only because he's wearing the Sanchez jersey. I mean, I don't know. You could just take off the jersey, put on a different one. But I don't know why. What happened that the guy would actually get up at halftime? Besides the Jets playing lousy, what else could have happened to make the guy just walk out of the stadium at that point? You know, I wonder myself. I mean, we weren't there, so I don't know. Was something really out of that? You know, out there that we don't know about? I don't know.
Yeah, it probably just wasn't fun. It probably got to be like, you know, wow, this is just brutal being here. Like, why am I here?
It's not funny. It's not fun.
Yeah, I can imagine be sitting there with the helmet, trying to, you know, do the cheers and stuff as you usually do, and you're down, and then you're going down, you know, down a slippery slide there, right? I mean, and you see these touchdowns being scored, like, 1, 2, 3, and it was like, oh, my God, look what the hell's happening over here. I was watching the game. I couldn't believe it myself. I'm like, what the hell is going on, man? This is like one of them games. It's just not – yeah, I mean, and you could just see it happening, and it was fast, and I don't know what happened. I think Rex Ryan dismantled his team somehow, and just they're not what they were.
I just think he's delusional. What he's got. That's all.
Because Eddie's a big Jet fan. I know you know much more about the Jets than I do. A lot of the guys that he inherited from, Mangini was the coach before that, right?
Yes.
I think there were a lot of Mangini players on those teams that went to the AFC Championship games. And guys get older and guys get hurt. People leave, they retire, whatever. But I don't know. Rex Ryan, for some reason, to me, he just don't seem to have that eye to somebody who's going to, or even Tannenbaum, for that fact, you know, say there's a guy that's going to replace this guy. We have a younger guy that could replace this guy, you know, and that hasn't happened. And they keep going sometimes after these older guys and it just doesn't work out, or the guys that they think are going to work out don't work out for some reason. So I put a lot of the blame on Rex. Some people say, well, Rex is only a coach. But, yeah, he's the guy that makes the cuts in the end, right? Says who's staying, who's going. So, you know, I mean.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head with Tannenbaum.
I think it's a thing of just basically looking at his roster and seeing, you know, okay, who's not going to, you know, who needs to go, who needs to stay, and what do you have, you know, and what kind of picks do you have to make to replace these people that are going to be leaving?
How many, the Jets don't have a legitimate pass rush. You can't survive in this league without a legitimate pass rush. This has been an issue. You can get all the cover guys in the world. The smartest thing for the Jets to do is trade Darrell Revis for 2 number one picks to anybody who'll pick next year. They need to they need to rebuild.
I agree.
I mean, they have on the offensive line the Freakishaw Ferguson. He's a good guy. They have Mangold. He's a Pro Bowler. They got another
one. Yep.
They got some players, but there's no excuse for what we saw. That's just bad. I mean, that's rotten from the inside. All that stuff. I mean, that's not.
Yeah. We saw it erupt at the end of the season last year, you know. At the end of the season, everybody's pointing fingers, and you see Santonio Holmes sitting on the sideline pouting, and you knew something was wrong. You see them in the huddle. You know, we all saw that happen. And right from that point on, it's like, how the hell are all these guys still going to coexist this year now? You already had the problems last year. I mean, I know the guy's hurt now and stuff, but – you know, what's the situation now? You know, I mean, is it, you still got now, like the week before, we were here, somebody's bad-mouthed in Tebow. A guy hasn't even really played, and they're saying this guy's not good enough, and this guy, you know, it's like there still seems to be a dissension in the room there. You know, it's like a second year now in the making. And if Rex didn't have the pulse last year, as he said, I mean, this year it seems that he doesn't have the pulse again. And if he didn't have the pulse, I mean, they're gonna have to pull the plug on this guy. I mean, he was all, you know, gung ho those couple of years and stuff. But like you said, there's a lot of those Mangini guys that were still there, you know, and they had a lot of leadership, man. I mean, I thought the world, like Damian Woody and Chris Jenkins, those type guys. But I remember when they put them on the, when they pretty much cut them, I was like, wow, those are two pretty good guys. You know, I mean, they're older and stuff now, but who the hell do they have to replace them?
Well, and the thing is, and I'll make this quick because we don't have much time. When you had a locker room of those guys you mentioned, along with LaDainian Tomlinson and a couple other guys, you have a tight locker room that you could really, they're leaders. But then he replaced them all with, you know, for lack of a better word, convicts and suspect people of credibility. Making Santonio Holmes last year your captain shows you have no judgment in character. The guy is a selfish mofo. That's the way he is. He only cares about himself. You throw his quarterback under the bus. It's all about him. And his lack of judgment and his delusional attitude towards players and their capabilities as well as their character is his biggest fault. It's not about how he calls the defense. And you're right, it is about, you know, he's got to be the ultimate one to judge talent. And that, I think, he overrates his own players. And
right.
This all ends up to, where they are. Well, thank you, James.
You got it, buddy.
Take care, James.
All right, Jim. I'll talk to you soon. Talk to you guys Thursday then. What time are you guys coming on then?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. I'll try to make it.
All right, guys.
You have a good night. Good talking to you.
You too. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, one more phone call, then we'll do the picks. 973-590, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim, man, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Can't complain. But I being Pakistan, I was at the game on Sunday night. Was not a very good game, but I expected coming into it that the Packers were not going to do very well because, as per usual, Giants beat the team they're never supposed to. But if there's one beautiful thing that came out of that game, it was not having to listen to fucking Chris Collinsworth ramble on about nonsense.
I found a friend, Jim.
I hate Collinsworth, too.
Oh, God,
he's the worst.
I don't know who I hate more, Collinsworth or McGuire. I really don't know who I hate more.
He just overstates. There was an overstatement by Troy Aikman, actually. I don't know if you guys caught this in the San Francisco game. He said that in the 12 years that he's been announcing that he has never seen a better offensive line than the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I'm saying to myself, okay, the 49ers' offense is good. Their offensive line is good. But I don't see Frank Gore. I know he's a little bit long in the tooth. He's a little bit older. But I don't see Frank Gore, like, running up and down the field. They don't have much of a passing attack. That may have to do with some of it. But he was in you have never seen a better offensive line in the 49ers. So a lot of times I think they get caught in the overstatement. But with Collinsworth, he just gushes. And gushes over the team that's winning. And just, he's huge.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you were talking about how, I think it was you, maybe it was Jim, but you guys were talking about how he was saying, or talking about the fourth quarter comebacks and whatnot. I mean, I really don't know if he was watching the same game I was watching, but I really don't think the Packers were playing football, to tell you much.
They were trying to give. They were just trying to keep them interested.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ, I lost interest in the second quarter. I mean, God, I couldn't. Man, I just wanted to jump out of my seat and punch Mike McCarthy in the face when he sent Mason Crosby out to attempt a 57-yard field goal. Oh, my God. It was just awful. It really was awful.
Well, it's hard.
But like I said,
as a Jet fan, it's hard for me to feel bad for you with the, you know, Clay Matthews. But how long is he out for?
I think another week or two.
Yeah. Well,
it,
how do you
really just? What you saying?
How do you explain the Giants' you know, domination of the Packers in the last couple of games? So.
Well. Packers don't play defense, number one. Our offensive line really is none. Our running game is non-existent. And when Aaron doesn't have enough time to throw the ball, Packers don't win.
Okay, there you go.
Makes sense. All righty, sir. We're going to get to the picks and get the hell out of here.
All right.
We've given you guys an extra half hour of free radio here. But, yes, thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, later.
Later. All right, let's cue the music. I have scheduled the show for Thursday night, so we are all set. There will be a hockey show Thursday night, 8 p.m. Looking forward to it. The Lockout Continues edition. So, last week in the picks, Eddie had the Cleveland Browns, the Green Bay Packers, thank you for picking them, and the Tennessee Titans. Eddie finished with a record of 1-2, bringing his season record to 11-14-2. I had the Washington Redskins, the Denver Broncos, and the Houston Texans, which left me at 1-1-1, and my schedule for the year 15-8-4. Eddie, you get to pick first. Who do you got?
I got the New Orleans Saints in a bounce-back victory, giving Saints in Atlanta their second loss of the season.
All right.
Atlanta goes down. So I've got New Orleans getting 3.5.
Okay.
My selection, the vaunted South America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys giving 9 to the Philadelphia Eagles. That's how hapless I think the Eagles are. And even Tony Romo in his second half buffoonery will still prevail. More than 9 points over the Philadelphia Eagles. And then my last but not least pick is the Minnesota Vikings getting 9. Versus our previous callers, Green Bay Packers. Although Minnesota
all right.
has fallen off in recent weeks, I like getting them. And yourself?
All right. I am going to take, I'm going to go directly against you in the Atlanta game. I am going to take the Falcons -3.5. I am going to take the Indianapolis Colts +4.5 in Detroit. Since Jim Schwartz is giving away touchdowns up there, I figure Indianapolis, you'll probably get up there and get one, get a gift from Uncle Schwartzy and come away with a win. And then I am going to take the Cincinnati Bengals giving 1.5 against the San Diego Chargers.
Very good.
And there you have it.
That concludes another. Boy, this season is flying by.
It is. What are we, week 13? Week 13.
Wow.
Unbelievable. All right, Edward. Always a pleasure. We'll see you. Oh, and Murph. Murph's lock of the week. I forgot. Because he got it right. He was right again last week. What's his pick? Oh, he's got two locks. Pats giving 7.5 against Miami, and Houston giving 6 to Tennessee. Those are his locks, and he was right again last week. We'll see you guys Thursday night. Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Eddie, always a pleasure.
Same here, Jim. Take care.
Good night, everybody.